All right, let's open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 12. I really do think we're going to finish tonight. That is not a prophecy, but I really do think we're going to finish tonight. My goal is to finish tonight. We have gotten in this 12th chapter and learned many things, and there are still things to learn. So I want you to give me your attention tonight and pay real close attention as I read the text tonight. We'll start reading in verse 5 and read down through the end of the chapter. And let's pay real close attention. We've already looked last week down through the end of verse 7. But I want to go back and get verse 5, 6, and 7 so that you remember a little bit from last week. And then we'll look at the closing few verses here tonight. In verse 5, it says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank and the other on the side, on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" All right, so here are the angels. Now, you remember last week I told you that the angels, there was one on one side of the river, one on the other side of the river, and they do not even know when the Lord Jesus is coming back. All right, remember we looked in Matthew at that great passage that we call the Olivet Discourse, the message, the sermon on the Mount of Olives that was given right at the end of our Lord's ministry. And he said that no man knows the day nor the hour. And he said that the angels in heaven do not even know. And so here they are. They've been listening. They've been watching. They're in Daniel's presence. They know the visions that Daniel has received. They know the prophecies, and so even the angels are wondering how long, how long is till the end? When? How long is it going to be? So the angels are asking the same questions that Daniel was asking. You remember when Daniel got several of these visions in chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 11. He was puzzled. He knew that God was going to do some wondrous things. He saw in his visions the Babylonians or the Medes and Persian Empire. He saw he was, of course, living in the Babylonian Empire, but he saw the Medes and Persians. Then once the Medes came and conquered Babylon, he was elevated to a position of authority in the Medes Empire. And then he gets these visions from God. So Daniel is not doubting God. He's just confused. He's worried about his people. He's worried about the time factor, how long this is. From what he's seeing, it is century upon century, and sure enough, that's how it played out. And so even the angels have the same question that Daniel did. All right, but now this one clothed in linen. All right, look at what he says in verse 7. It says, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which he held up." Or when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, comma, times, plural. All right, you see that? Time, times, and a half. So a time, that's 1 year. Times, plural, we're to understand that as 2 years, 3 years, two, not one, times, plural. So a time, then times, all right, see that, and a half. Now it's three and a half. So he's talking here about something familiar to Daniel and something familiar to these angels who were listening in as Daniel received the visions. That 3.5 year period from when the Antichrist stands up at the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week of years, the tribulation period, that last 3.5 years when the Antichrist rules and reigns in terror upon the earth. All right, so when, back at verse 6, the end of it, how long shall it be to the end? And the man clothed in linen says that that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be, what's the next word? Finished. All right. Now, we didn't get there, did we? Okay. All right. Verse 8. All right. So all new stuff from the semicolon at the end of the word half in verse 7. All right. I think that's where we quit last week. Is it? Okay. So verse 8. He said, and I heard, but I understood not. Now, who's the I? That's Daniel. Daniel said, I heard this, but I didn't get it. I heard, but I did not understand. Then said I, oh, my Lord. All right. Now, that identifies for you this man clothed in linen. All right. That identifies this man clothed in linen. Who is the man clothed in linen? Well, it's the Lord Jesus. So here's an angel on one side, an angel on the other. They don't know when the end is going to be. They also know that there's one who does know, and he's the only one who knows. So they ask him. All right? And so he just reveals to them, notice, only what has already been revealed to Daniel. Nod your head. You with me on that? All right, so nothing new, no new revelation here. And Daniel said, when I heard this, I didn't understand it. And verse 8, then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now, you know what the Lord said to Daniel here? Daniel said, Lord, I don't understand. I don't get it. What shall be the end of these things? And the Lord says, Daniel, don't worry about it. It's written. It's sealed. Nothing's going to break it. It's going to happen. And don't you worry about it. It's going to end when the time and times and a half are over. It's going to be finished. And only I know when that's going to be. But I have given my word. You've written it in the book here. I'm putting my seal upon it. And nothing's going to change it. So, Daniel, don't worry about it. All right? Now, you know, that same message could be preached to us. Lord, when are you coming back? He's coming back when he's coming back. Now, don't worry about it. You say, well, it's getting bad. Yeah, and faith is a wonderful commodity. It really is. And you know, we've had it awful good for the last umpteen years, have we not? And so if it gets a little testy and it gets a little trying and we have to exercise a little faith, that might be good for us. That just might be good for us. But don't worry. He's coming back. Now, you can put that in the bank. That is as good as gold right there. He's coming back. And so he said, Daniel, don't worry about it. It's written in the book. Don't worry about it. Verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. Now, that might be you and me. Tried. That might be us. I hope not. But the wicked shall do wickedly. I started to preach on this phrase Sunday, but it's Easter, so I got to preach an Easter message. But man, that phrase just jumped out of the Bible and hit me. People are going to do what they're going to do. I'll have more to say about that in about hour two of the lesson tonight. I'm not getting very far, am I? And none of the wicked shall understand. All right, now watch this. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, that's the midpoint of the tribulation, remember, when the abomination of desolation steps up, when the Antichrist steps up, enters into the temple, takes over the altar, and offers an abomination of desolation, a sacrifice that is appalling. He said, and from that time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, that's his image that he will set up for men to worship. It says there shall be 1,290 days. Now watch. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. So what's that, 45 extra days? How many days? Somebody add that up or subtract that. What is it? 45 extra days. All right, so the abomination, the last 3.5 years on the Jewish calendar, that's 1,290 days. But then he said, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. So we got 45 days put on the end of that. Now, I'll explain all this in a minute. Then look at verse 13. Daniel, all right, I added that. That's not in the text. But just so you know, he's talking to Daniel. Look at it. Daniel, but go thou thy way till the end be. Now what end? His end. Till he dies. In other words, Daniel, I'm done with you. You did what I asked you to do. You were faithful. You stayed with it. But you're not going to last until all this comes to pass. All right? It's appointed unto man once to die. You're going to die. So he said, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. What a guy. What a guy, this Daniel. All right, let's pray together, and then we'll see what we got here. While we're praying tonight, ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, just give us, I pray, a time of understanding of your word. What a great ending to this book. And Lord, I pray that our hearts will be receptive, that Lord, you'll just help us to trust in your promises and trust in your word. And Lord, I pray that Christ will be exalted. Be with us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, last week we finished up with at the halfway point of verse 7. And we saw that the Lord said to Daniel and to these two angels that when the time and times and a half are over, that's when the end will be. Now, we know that Daniel's 70th week is future. It has not occurred yet. You remember the first 69 weeks ended with Christ being cut off. And then there is silence, basically, in the Old Testament. There's basically silence until the Lord steps back into the picture at the rapture of the church. And that will begin Daniel's 70th week. It has not happened yet. All right? You say, how you know that? Because I know that because Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and he said that he comforted the Thessalonians by telling them, listen, I know that there are people telling you that Jesus has returned already. He hasn't. He hasn't. And so he said, you don't be shaken when you hear that he has already come back. He hasn't come back. And you say, well, how do you know he hadn't come back? Because I'm still here. That's how I know. Okay? I just know that he hasn't. I'm still here. And so when he comes, the church will be taken out. All right? Now, that will begin Daniel's 70th week. And that 70th week is filled with a lot of events, but one of the key events that will take place is that there will be a peace treaty that will be established by the Antichrist and Israel with the rest of the world. Now, if you're paying attention, you are noticing that there is that the eyes of the world are starting to turn their attention back towards Israel. This change that we elected into our country is not taking the same position that that the former United States presidents have taken. This change you can believe in is getting awful buddy-buddy and friendly with people that are calling for Israel's destruction. And don't think for a minute that the rest of the world, especially those that are calling for Israel's annihilation, don't think for a minute that they're not paying attention to this. All right. You want my opinion? I thought you did. I'm glad to offer it to you. This thing we saw in Korea was the test that Mr. Biden was let slip right before the election. This was the test. And I want to serve notice on you that we flunked the test. I mean, we flunked the test. And so the world's focus and the world's attention is directed now towards the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and it is not looking good for the Israelis right now. All right, now you say, well, Pastor, you know, Israel's pretty strong. Yes, they are, but are they strong enough to take on the world? And the answer to that is no, not without our help. And you got people in the White House right now who are not willing to help. All right? So you say, well, why are you talking about this? Well, that's where we are in the last part of this verse. Because at the midpoint of the tribulation, when you start this time, times and a half, this last 3.5 years, that's when this Antichrist is going to violate this treaty that he establishes, that he will establish in the first half of the tribulation period. Now, do you understand? You see the correlation? Here we are right now on the brink of the world turning against Israel, and several of these Islamic nations now have nuclear capability. All right, so here you got Israel with Netanyahu as their new prime minister, who will not take anything off of anybody. And now all of a sudden, if the world turns against Israel, if America is not in support of Israel, somebody is going to have to step in, because Israel is not going to be annihilated. They're God's people. He has an eternal covenant made with them. All right? And so what's going to happen? Well, you know, you ever think about that might be when the trumpet sounds and the church is gone, and then the Antichrist steps up and he steps in and says, whoa, let's make peace here. Let's fix this thing. And so the treaty is drawn up, and everything looks hunky-dory. The Jews are allowed to rebuild their temple, and they do rebuild their temple. And in midpoint of the tribulation, all of a sudden here the Antichrist shows who he is. You say, okay, now what's that have to do with the text? Well, look at your Bible. It says, for a time, times and a half, and then you have a semicolon, which means the sentence is not done, there's more to it. And you have the conjunction and, which is putting a second caveat on when the end will come. You with me? Yes. All right, look at it. When? When he shall have accomplished to scatter the what? Power of the holy people. All right, who's he? The Antichrist, the abomination of desolation. when he, the Antichrist, shall have accomplished, in other words, it's going to take him a while to get there, all right, this is not a boom overnight thing. He's got to make the treaty. He's got to allow them, you know, leeway. He's got to let them build the temple. He's got to buddy up to them. And then he will enter in and drop the bomb. Not nuclear bomb, but satanic bomb. All right? And when he shall have accomplished to scatter. Now, what's he going to do when he takes over from Jerusalem, sits in the temple of God, thinking that he is God, demanding that the world worship him? Well, he's going to scatter the Jews. He's going to scatter the people of God. The holy people, as it is called here. The Jews will be scattered from out of Israel, out of Jerusalem, and they will have to flee down into the mountains of Edom to a place called Petra, where God will protect them so that the devil doesn't annihilate them and wipe them off the face of the earth. All right, now remember, I told you that all the way back with Abraham, God said that he was going to, through Abraham, establish a kingdom, a people, a nation, and that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through them. All right, then comes David, and you have the promise that the Messiah, that the coming Savior, the Messiah, would sit upon the throne of David during the millennium. Now, if there is no Jews, then there is no throne. And don't you think for a minute the devil doesn't know this. And so that's why at the midpoint of tribulation, he will seek to destroy. Folks, listen, when you hear this rhetoric coming out of first Yasser Arafat, and then out of Abbas, and then out of Saddam Hussein, and then out of this Ahmadinejad over in Iran, and all the rest of these little tyrants. Whenever you hear the rhetoric coming out of them that we're going to drive Israel into the sea, listen, that does not come out of thin air. That was inspired by the devil himself, who wants them destroyed. Why? No people, no kingdom. He's read the back of the book. The devil has read the back of the book. He knows what's coming. He doesn't know when it's going to come. And so he's doing everything he can to prevent it, to stop it. All right? So at the midpoint of the tribulation, here comes the Antichrist, with the backing and power of the world behind him, including the good old U.S. of A. And they will come after Israel at the midpoint of that tribulation period with everything they've got. And God will have to protect his own people. Now, today, right now, you think about this, folks, for centuries, actually for millennia, the Jews were scattered into all parts of the world. In 1948, they finally became a nation again, and the call was sent out around the world to all the Jews, come home, come home. And they've been flocking back ever since. Today, millions of Jews have returned to live in the land promised to Abraham and to his seed. And because of America's support for Israel as a nation, their influence in the world is enormous, especially when you consider how outnumbered they are in the world. They are today a power to be reckoned with. But that will change during the last half of Daniel's 70th week. You say, well, how long will it last? Well, the Lord told Daniel and these angels here in the last part of this seventh verse that it will just last long enough for the Antichrist to scatter the power of the Jews. Scatter the power. Folks, I want you to imagine You lived 200 years ago. And you had a Bible 200 years ago. And you sat down and read the book of Daniel, and you got to this 12th chapter, and you got to the last half of this 7th verse, you would have no idea what that was saying. But since 1948, when Israel became a nation, and sitting right here tonight in 2009, we can read this, and we can look at our world around us, and we could see that the stage is set. Is that clear? Now, no doubt the conversation, all this conversation that was going on between Christ and the angels, it all just went right over Daniel's head. No doubt the two angels got it. They probably got it. I'm sure they got it. But it all went right over Daniel's head. And I want you to notice the next verse. And he said, verse 8, I'm sorry. And I heard, Daniel said, I heard. Now, this is commentary on Daniel's part. He said, I heard, but I understood not. I heard what they were saying, but I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. And so I said, Lord, what shall be the end of these things? What shall be the end of these things? In other words, Daniel said, I heard this, but I said, whoa, wait a minute, Lord, what? What? What shall be the end of these things? But notice, no explanation was given. The Lord did not explain it to Daniel. He did not explain it. You see, listen carefully now. These high matters now being discussed by the angels were not for Daniel's day. They were not for Daniel's day. Their fulfillment lay far in the future. The New Testament revelation would add many, many more details. And then as history unfolded, and finally and eventually the nation of Israel was born, then all of a sudden all the holes would start to be filled in. It was not necessary that Daniel know all of the factors in the end times equation. And look at the reply of the Lord to Daniel. Look, Daniel said, Lord, I don't understand. When? What? What are you saying? And look at how the Lord answered him in verse 9. The Lord said, go thy way, Daniel. He called him by name. Go thy way, Daniel. Don't you think Daniel sitting there listening to this conversation and probably just absolutely just blown away that he could hear them talking and see them with his eyes? And he's sitting there listening to this, and all of a sudden Daniel goes, whoa, what? And the Lord looks at him and says, go thy way, Daniel. Wow. I don't know about you, but I believe I'd have got up and gone my way. That's just the way I'm looking at it. Go thy way, Daniel. He told him, he said, you don't need to know this. I'm not ready to reveal this. Now, there are a couple of things I want you to see. First of all, there is a statement as to why. There is a statement as to why. Daniel asked for an explanation, but he didn't get one. He didn't get one. He didn't get it. He asked for it, but he didn't get it. And the Lord basically says to him, let me read the verse, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Go thy way. Basically, the Lord is saying, Daniel, look here, don't worry about it. Now, just don't worry about it. Daniel was to ask no more questions. Why? Because the words were sealed up. God has set his seal upon the book of Daniel. In other words, let the liberals come with their Bible denying, Holy Spirit defying, Christ rejecting slander about God and his word and about prophecy and about the book of Daniel. Let them take their pulpits and their pens and criticize the truth all they want. In the final analysis, it's all hopeless. And every effort is in vain. God's protective seal is upon the book of Daniel. And behind that seal is the omnipotent power of the living God of heaven. Nothing can break that seal. And God's word is going to prove true. It doesn't matter who or what tries to break it, it shall not be broken. And that's the point that God is making to Daniel. Daniel's sitting here wondering, he's like you, he's like me, he wants every detail. I mean, be honest, you and I are the same way. And you can't blame him for asking. But the Lord steps in. I mean, this conversation is between the angels and the Lord. And then all of a sudden, you know, Daniel pipes in. But whoa, wait a minute, Lord. What? Daniel, be quiet. What I've written, I've written. It's sealed. It's going to happen. Don't worry about it. I'm God. Let me handle this. Just let me handle it. Daniel then was to have no fear about the future and about what was going to happen. The times were set. The truth was sealed. And the victory was secure. And brethren, it still is. It still is. Then notice you have a statement as to the what. The what. Look at verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white. And tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Folks, listen, it's kind of always been like that, you know? And it's not going to change in the future. All right? Think about this. Think of it this way. Verse 10 is God's gauntlet thrown down before all the unbelieving theologians, before all the unbelieving liberal-minded professors of Christianity. There's a difference between a professor and a possessor. There's a lot of professing Christianity that is not possessing Christianity. All right? And verse 10 is God's gauntlet. That's hillbilly. I can't say the word. It just won't come out right. You know what I'm saying? A gauntlet. Gauntlet. All right? This statement is God's gauntlet. I couldn't think of another word, so I used that one. Huh? I should have tried harder. Yeah. I tried, I really did. I couldn't think of nothing else. Because it makes the point I want to say. It's like God is saying, you go ahead and criticize my book all you want. You go ahead and reject me all you want. Go ahead and deny my truth all you want. This is the way it is. Now, this is the way it's going to be. My book is sealed. And I don't care what you say or how you twist it or how you turn it. The gospel is the gospel. Jesus is the Son of God. He's coming again. And sin is going to be destroyed. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Saved people go to heaven. Unsaved people go to hell. Saved people are the ones that end up in the kingdom. Unsaved people end up in judgment. And if you don't like it, tough rocks. And so this is the gauntlet thrown down. The Lord knew the devil was going to raise up theologians and doubters and skeptics. And the Lord knew about the higher critics that were coming and who would flaunt their scholarship and subject gullible students sitting in classrooms buying their textbooks and sitting in awe of their degrees. God knew that they were going to be throwing out a barrage of unbelief all in the name of Christianity. He knew what wit and sarcasm and with what devilish skill and authority they would present their deadly propositions. God knew all this. He saw it. He knows the devil. He created him. And he knows what he's going to do. He's God. And so he knew what was coming. So he throws down the gauntlet right here. Just throws it down. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Look at it. Many, verse 10, shall be purified and made white. That's people, he said, a lot of people during that tribulation period, a lot of Jews, a lot of folks during that tribulation, they're going to hear the gospel. And they're going to repent. They're going to get saved. They're going to believe. Many shall be purified, even under the tyranny of the Antichrist. He said, but the wicked shall do wickedly. Man, that's a sobering thought. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. That's a scary thought. Now, you sit here and listen to the gospel, and you listen to a sermon on Sunday morning or Sunday night. You sit and listen to it, and you walk out of here and you go, Pastor, how could anybody not? How could people not see that? Pastor, I don't understand how somebody unsaved could sit and listen to that and not understand their need for the Lord. Well, folks, you got to understand something about sin. You got to understand what it does. You got to understand. I know it's hard for some of God's people to get and understand, but God said it here. None of the wicked shall understand. They've made their decision. They've made their choice. They've decided what they are. You say, well, I understood, and praise God you did. I mean, thank God there was a day when the gospel was preached, you heard it, and you believed it. This is not saying that nobody can get saved. That's not saying that at all. What he's referring to is that with some people, they have made their decision. And no matter what evidence you throw at them, they're going to reject it because of what they are in here. They're wicked in their hearts. Does that make sense to you? Some will remain blind to the truth. Here's what the Lord's saying. Some will remain blind to the truth right to the very end. Now, folks, listen very carefully to this. Listen, listen, listen. The ultimate truth concerning unbelief is that it is not a mental issue, it is a moral issue. Man, oh man, oh man, the ramifications of that are phenomenal. Let me ask you, how many truths are there? Huh? One. Let me ask you this. Where do you find that truth? Where? In the Bible. And so therefore, when you see Mr. Liberal Theologian stand up and say, this is not really the Word of God. Oh, it contains the Word of God, or it's the Word of God when it speaks to you. You see, he has made a moral decision. He has made a decision from his will, from his heart. And he has said, no, God. Would you just hold your place here? Good grief. 10 after already. Go back. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? Go back to Psalm. Let me find it. 14. Psalm 14. Verse 1. I don't even need to read it, do I? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know what the fool has said in his heart? No God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, no God. You're not telling me what to do. And folks, listen. Oh, my soul. Would you get this? If you've never gotten it in the past, would you get this right now? That's what every one of these theologians and scholars who sit in classrooms, who don't deal with people on a pastoral, biblical, pastoral manner. They sit in classrooms and mess with heads. Listen, you can bank the devil knows what he's doing. And when that theologian who has never pastored a bunch of people, who has never stood by the funeral casket, who has never been to the hospital in the middle of the night, who has never had a couple sitting across from him who just lost a child. I mean, he has never dealt with the burdens and the cares and the concerns of a people and their relationship to God. But when he sits in a classroom and says, you really can't trust this book. We don't know for sure if this is really the Word of God. You know, a better translation of this would be, this really is not accurate. What it should say is, you've got somebody that's made a moral decision that I know more than God knows. Are you listening? All right, well, it's time to go. All right, we're not done. We got to be done. Let me see, is there any... Well, I can't leave out any of this. Well, see, there's a little problem with that. Because you remember Dr. Comfort that was here back in September? Well, I've never preached at Ambassador Baptist College, never. And he was just, I mean, he just went nuts over this place. And he said, you have got to come to the college and speak for a week. And I said, well, I can't. And he said, you got to. I said, I can't, Doc. You don't understand. I can't. And he said, but we yes, you can. Now, you don't tell an old man no. So we went back to the office, and the only time I can go is Tuesday through Friday of this next week. That's the only time I can go. And so I won't be here next Wednesday night. Pastor Rick will be speaking next Wednesday night. I won't be here. And that is sandwiched in between a revival meeting that I'm doing Sunday through Wednesday of, not Easter Sunday, but the next Sunday. I'm sorry, but it's just the way, I'm sorry. But I have to miss Wednesday, Sunday, and Wednesday. Sorry. But things are... Besides, I need a break from you. I'm kidding! I'm joking with you. Now, come on. No, I'm sorry, but it's just the way the schedule's worked out. But Dr. Comfort wants me to come. He wants me to preach, of course, in chapel. And I'm teaching like five classes of preacher boys for four days. And so, he just wouldn't quit. So I agreed to do it. But anyway, that's how all that happened. But all right, well, we'll just have to finish when I get back, I guess. Because there's still some neat stuff here. We do. He said we have all summer. Yeah, but we're running out of text here. I mean, we're running out of text. Of course, you know, the next book's a good one too. Hosea. That's a wonderful book too. But anyway, all right, folks, the main point is, hey, just keep trusting the Lord. All right, just keep trusting Him. All right, let's pray. And folks, please be much in prayer for this Sunday. Let's pray for a great day, okay? We've sown a ton of seed this week. And let's pray for these folks that they'll come to church on Sunday and get under the sound of the Word of God and get grounded and rooted and settled in there. Man, so many folks went out of here last night just, man, beside themselves. They trusted the Lord, and one lady came up afterwards last night, and she said, "How long has this church been here?" I said, "Ma'am, we've been here for a long time, 30, 40 years, well, 100 years. Where you been?" Like that, she smiled, and she said, "I didn't even know this was here." She lives here in Westminster. She said, "I didn't even know this was here. How's that possible?" I don't know. But I said, "Well, did you receive the Lord?" "I sure did." Amen. I said, "Well, come back Sunday." "I'm going to." So let's pray for these folks that they'll come. Man, wouldn't that be great? All right. Hey, question. Where are we going to put everybody Thursday night and Friday night? Y'all, let's... On the roof. I guess cut holes in the roof and let them look through. I mean, last night the place was full. We had over 1,200 here last night. That's a Tuesday night crowd. Tuesday night's usually 750, 800 people. But last night, over 1,200. So praise the Lord for that. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, we stand in awe of Your Word. And Lord, help us to see the mighty hand of God at work here. Lord, we can relate to Daniel's curiosity. Because, Lord, every single one of us sitting here tonight knows You're coming again. We know in our heart of hearts that You're coming again. You promised us You were. And, Lord, I'm sure every one of us sitting here is curious as to just when that trumpet's going to sound. Lord, we look at the world around us and we see the signs of the second coming. That's at least 7 years from tonight. We see the signs of the second coming. Lord, how soon must the rapture be? So, Lord, give us encouraged hearts. Help us not to get to grow weary in well-doing. But, Lord, to just get excited about living for Christ. And, Lord, doing all we can to reach people with the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Father, bless, I pray, what's been said to our hearts. Encourage us in the faith. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.